tell you, every year I am so impressed with these ladies, these busy little bees that decorate and plan for VBS, and from the ground up, starting with creating the lessons and the theme, and then working out all the details. And I'm really looking forward to seeing the classrooms. I haven't had a chance to look at them, but I was really impressed with that bulletin board, and exciting. So VBS starts Wednesday, and we're real excited to have the kids involved in that. So tonight, I'm going to talk about a subject that can be what some might call a heavy subject. I think it's an important subject. I think it's a subject that every parent is going to have to at some point talk to their kids. And we have kids that are getting at that age, and I'm not trying to use this lesson to circumvent the parents, but hopefully that maybe this could be used at some point when they feel it's proper to be an aid or to be used in some way to broach that subject. We're going to talk about a subject called hooking up. The world likes to come up with all sorts of new ideas and new things that they think will revolutionize their life and bring freedom and all sorts of things to this world. But Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. We just call it something different. And I learned about this a while back. I'm not sure if young people still refer to it as hooking up, but there's something that they call it today. But I learned this from an elder who had at that time a daughter in high school, public school, and she was telling him, not that she was involved in it, but she was telling him these things that were going on in high school, and he shared them with me, and I was just flabbergasted. My kids were much younger at that time, and though I knew stuff like this was going on, I didn't know how far it went. And so it's called hooking up. The world sure has changed. As we talked about this morning, how people in the world want to change God, and we talked about changing God's love. Well, think about the way that kids were raised, and I hope Christian kids, I believe so, are raised very much the same way. But there was a way that young men and women were raised to become controlled, to become mature, to become holy men and women. And there was some rules that I kind of wonder if are still being taught today. How many of us remember when our parents said, if you're a young lady, you do not call a boy. You do not telephone and call that young man. He is to call you if he wants to talk to you. Remember those days? Well, I guess it's kind of hard now since all the kids have their own phone and like, well, Mom, he didn't call me. He texted me, or I text him, or something like that. But is that just an old-fashioned, out-of-date idea? No, there was a reason that parents had rules like that. Rule where you were not going to go out with a boy unless your parents first met him. And at 30 years of age, when they finally let you date, that was kind of awkward, wasn't it? But now, a lot of times, the boy just pulls up, honks the horn, the girl goes out, and off they go. And sometimes parents are okay with that. Well, we've come a long ways from that. And we've been talking a lot about parenting and raising up healthy, happy, successful children in the eyes of God. And this is a lesson that kind of will help going along with it. So this idea of hooking up, what would God say? And that's kind of what we want to talk about. We're not interested in the new fandangled ideas of the world and how smart they think. What would God say about something like this? And I want you to know that I'm not making this type of stuff up. I did some research once I learned of it. This is an article that was on MSNBC called "Does Hooking Up Really Hurt Anyone?" And of course, questions like that are always raised from a physical standpoint. Never do we think about a spiritual standpoint. But some of the interesting things in this article talked about a teacher that was teaching adolescents. And that's often the case these times. They teach our kids about these matters of intimacy and adolescence and what's happening with their bodies. Well, during a class discussion on adolescence, a high school teacher recently asked her students whether they go on dates. "We don't date," the 12th graders reported. "We hook up," as they said with pride. "We hook up. We don't date like you guys did. We hook up." And so it goes on to say, if you are in your 40s or older, hooking up might mean catching up with a friend downtown for lunch. It was a much more innocent type of thing. Remember that? "Hey, let's hook up for lunch," or "let's hook up at 3 o'clock at such and such a place." Well, it has a very, very different meaning to these young people. So he says, but to people in their teens or 20s, the phrase often means a casual, intimate encounter, anything from kissing onwards with no strings attached. And that's the big word there, right? No commitment, no strings attached. I think there was even a movie with that title, right? No Strings Attached. I think in that movie, I don't remember, that they at the end show that just doesn't work very well, this no strings attached thing. If that's the case, I'm glad to see that. But that's the whole idea of hooking up, is to have these, what the Bible would consider to be an adult, serious, emotional relationship where we take all that off and no strings attached. All right, so what's the motivation of this? Why are kids so excited about this? Well, again, this goes to how the world is changing. And part of that feminist movement where girls are not going to be girls, they're going to compete with guys. Well, it goes on to say in the article, too often girls and young women say proudly that they like the control of hookups that it gives them. Control over their emotions, their schedules, the freedom to focus on things like schoolwork and career, and not have to worry about the responsibility of that serious type of relationship. Now, we girls can be just as bad as the boys. How often have we heard that kind of rationale for ladies stepping outside of what would be the traditional, we might even say, godly biblical role of a woman, how she handles herself, how she presents herself. Now, well, the boys have done it for years. Why is it so wrong for us to be like that? And that's that kind of idea. So a lot of this motivated not just so about the boys, but the girls. If the boys can be that way, why can't we be that way? Well, if it's a negative thing for the boys to be like that, if it turns off, why would you want to be like that? Would be one question. I also learned, though I'm not really covering it here, at some point, I don't know if this still goes on, girls used to wear color bracelets. And the color represented how far she was willing to go on a date. And so they would wear those colors, and of course, boys then would ask the girls out with which other color they were looking for. That's our teenagers. Is that still going on, do you think? No? But it did at some point with some. That's incredible to think what's going on. So we've got this friends with privileges. Have you heard about this? Right? Friends with privileges, no commitment. I think that was a movie too, wasn't it? Something like that, friends with privileges. Guilt-free intimacy. It all sounds so great. Sounds all new and revolutionary, but it's the same old thing. I started doing some research. I found several books on it. Here's a book called Hookup Handbook. You can't read the small print. I'll read it once I get close enough. A Single Girl's Guide to Living It Up. Living It Up. In the middle is a cookbook, Cooking to Hookup. The Bachelor's Date Night Cookbook. And then another hooking up book there. Several of these were out of the market. So what would God say to such a view? Again, it's something that we need to be aware of. As a parent, I'm very concerned about that type of idea. Do I think all kids are embracing this? No, I don't. I believe there's a lot of kids that are much more conservative, much more clean and holy and moral, especially those that come from a religious Christian background. But these are the kids that they go to school with. And we need to be able to tell them what would God say about such a thing. So I wanted to just kind of compare kind of the whole idea of the hookup versus what God says. First, the hookup, right? Well, getting married gets in the way. Because what? We got careers and we've got goals and we want to do all these things with our life. And so we don't want to get married. That's going to interfere with all that. But we still want to hook up. No commitment. That's the big part of this. No strings attached. No responsibility. No emotional involvement. And this is the one I really, really question. Can you really be involved in that type of relationship and not be emotionally involved? If you can, that's about as seared, hardened person that I would imagine you can be. No guilt. And that's the whole thing. We can have our cake and eat it too. And there won't be any guilt in that. Well, what would God say? Well, the first thing I would say is, does that really work? And I have some serious doubts about it. But God says what? When it comes to hooking up, marriage is the only way. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and remind ourselves. The very same thing that was said in the Old Testament is expressed in the New Testament. Maybe a slightly different context. But here was a question about getting married that involved the desire to, if I can use those words, to hook up. And so, Paul says, by inspiration, I'll go ahead and start in verse 1. Now concerning the things about which you wrote, it's good for a man not to touch a woman, but because of immoralities, each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband. And the husband is to fulfill the duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise also, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Now, how does that line up with that on the left? It doesn't line up very well, does it? God says that's the only place where hooking up is appropriate. And why? Because there's commitment. There's responsibility. As he says, there is duty to one another. And so there must be commitment. There must be responsibility because there's a lot that can happen in that type of relationship. There's always an emotional involvement. Look in Ephesians chapter 5, if you would. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 28, so husbands ought also to love their own wives as they love their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. Especially of note there, those words, nourish and cherish. There's an emotional involvement. There's an emotional attachment there that God says is part of that type of relationship. And should there be guilt? No, there shouldn't be if you do it God's way. And that's the wonderful thing. A lot of people want to say, oh, I'm just doing what God created me to do, what's natural. Well, just because something, you're created with that desire or that need in you, doesn't mean you can just fulfill that any way you want. God has outlined to us the proper and healthy way to fulfill those desires. And it's not by hooking up. Our young people need not to be told that somehow that type of relationship is ugly and dirty, though that's the way the world has made it. The answer is not no, no, no. The answer is wait. Wait till it's right. Wait till you're ready. Wait till it's done to the glory of God and holiness. So there's a very big difference between the hookup and what God says, isn't there? Very big difference. And so as you look at it, you almost see the hookup is exactly the opposite of what God says. And what have we said over and over and over? When you see something that comes from the world and it's the opposite, you know exactly where it comes from. It comes from Satan, who's always giving us the opposite of what God says. It's like Isaiah. God says through Isaiah, be careful of those who call evil good and good evil. That's what Satan wants us to do. That's what he wants us to do. And that's kind of what we talked about this morning. And so the world says, hey, by hooking up, it's guilt-free and it's healthy. That's how the world would call it. What would God call it? What God calls it. And it doesn't matter that it's 2019. It doesn't matter if we think that we're just so compassionate, open-minded, and that we are so smarter than all other generations. God still calls it that. And it's still a sin. Now, I do want to say this. But sometimes could be a young couple, doesn't have to be a young couple, they make a mistake. That's not the end of the world. They can come and they can be forgiven of that. They can, you know, be restored to that right relationship with God. That's not the end. But we're talking about an idea of living in fornication and that it's great and it's guilt-free and it's so freeing and doesn't work. And even if it does work somehow in this life, it's not going to work in the life to come in judgment. And I want to say I'm so glad for Christians, brethren, that don't buy into all of this new ideology and that we're so much smarter and more open-minded. They have brethren that still call it what God calls it. And will teach their children right from wrong and why it's right from wrong. And encourage them to be happy, healthy, and successful in the eyes of God. Thank you so much for that. So in addition, let's take a look at some passages as we bring our lesson to a close. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15. Proverbs 5. I read this again this afternoon, and I was just like, wow, this is some strong words. Proverbs 5, beginning verse 15. He uses a little metaphor. We talked about metaphors this morning, but I think you would understand the metaphor that he's talking about. Proverbs 5, verse 15, Solomon in wisdom says, drink water from your own cistern and fresh water from your own well. Should your springs be dispersed abroad and streams of water in the streets, let them be yours alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. That's some wonderful words. Look down at verse 20. For why should you, my son, be exhilarated with an adulteress and embrace the bosom of a foreigner? For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. His own iniquities will capture the wicked, and he will be held with the cords of sin. He will die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he will go astray. Those are some strong words, but there's some good words. Drink water from your own cistern. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. Why should you, my son, be exhilarated with an adulteress and embrace the bosom of a foreigner? That's what God says. Not because God is somehow this mean, restrictive God, but he wants it to be healthy. He wants what's right for us. He wants that relationship and whatever could happen in that to be in a strong, stable, committed, emotional relationship. Let's take a look as well at 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning verse 3, Paul writes these words, "For this is the will of God." This is the will of God, he says, "your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification, honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God." That's an important discussion, not always an easy one, but an important discussion for parents to have with their children as they grow up an appropriate age. Look, if you would, at the passage to look at this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Again, just reiterating to ourselves that this isn't just found in one obscure passage, it's found throughout the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. "Or do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." Don't let the world deceive you. Somehow hooking up is the better way. And finally, let's take a look at Hebrews 13. Beginning in verse 4, where the Hebrew author writes, "Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers God will judge." And strong words. Strong words because of the world we live in. Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. There's lots of ways you can undefile the marriage bed. But I'll tell you what, hooking up is one of those ways. Thinking that we can do something better. You can never improve on God and His will, His ways. And so parents, if your kids think you're a little old-fashioned, that's okay. If they're a little embarrassed about this subject, when or if you have talked about it, that's okay. They need to hear it. And it will do them a world of good in the life to come, the world to come. So there's really nothing new under the sun. A man is always trying to find something new, creative, convenient. The ancients did the same thing. The pagans had a different way of looking at these types of relationships. And that's why these words are spoken. Many to pagans that came out of that lifestyle, like the Corinthians, and such were some of you. And I wonder, in keeping that same tone, is there a new way to be saved? Something that works better? Something that's easier? Something that kind of works for mankind today? I think there's probably a lot of people say, yeah, there is. But just like hooking up, this doesn't work. Neither is some new fangled idea of how to come to the Lord and be saved. It's by believing in Him. Being willing to repent of your sins, turning to God, living His way. Being willing to confess what you believe in your heart with your mouth to others. Which as a Christian you will continue to do. And to be immersed, to be baptized in the water. What the Bible calls a new birth. For the remission of sins. If we can help you be saved the old way, the godly way, the biblical way, won't you let that be known as together we stand and as we sing.